everybody. Welcome back in to the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. As always, I'm your host, Connor Newcomb, and today a special guest, my former college roommate, one of my good friends, Tyler O'Connor, will join us on the pod today. Tyler, who has worked in the past with University of Maryland baseball and currently working with the Rutgers baseball team, as well as a grad student in data analytics at Rutgers. And he looks into a lot of baseball numbers and puts together some models, and he's going to come on to talk about one of his models today. It looks at home runs and how many home runs players should be hitting as far as their exit velocity and the launch angle on their fly balls and home runs last season. And we're going to talk about four Orioles players: Renato Nunez, Trey Mancini, Chris Davis, and Anthony Santander. And then we're going to go a little bit more into the analytical look and then a little bit of fantasy baseball talk at the end. But we do focus on Renato Nunez at the beginning. And without further ado, we'll jump right into it. Our conversation with Tyler O'Connor. All right, so we're turning a little analytical today on the pod. And obviously for our listeners, you know, Mike Elias, Sigma Dell taking over the front office for Baltimore. And they're trying to bring what they learned from the Astros, not from banging on trash cans, but from diving into the numbers and finding guys for some bargains and finding guys who can fit and whose numbers may jump out to them and not to others. But I think Orioles fans are going to start to kind of understand a little bit more what's going on. But it was interesting to look back at last year, because I think the Orioles found some diamonds in the rough last year in Mike Elias's first year, and especially, you know, in a park like Camden Yards with the home run ball. And Tyler, you created a model and did something smarter than I could do, but explain to me kind of what the model does and what it looks at as far as home runs for major league players.
Okay, so a lot of MLB teams, obviously, they will utilize more detailed stats than probably what I have access to, but as some people might be aware of, in MLB stadiums, there are currently like Doppler radar technology. So when you see a hit and you see instantly like that ball left the bat at 102 miles per hour, that's all the track live. And I took a look at all that data, that play-by-play data that was that is publicly available, that StatCast data, and I then analyzed based on the launch angle and the exit velocity, the launch speed of each of these players for all their fly balls hit. So either for their fly outs or their home runs hit this year. Took a mean of that and then used some of my statistical backing to throw it into a model that would predict based on, you know, all that, how many home runs maybe they should have hit last year. So whether they overperformed expectations or underperformed, and various things can go into that, such as park factors, which I'm sure we'll briefly mention. But yeah, that's essentially how I did it.
So to start, you know, when you talk about a home run model and predicting, you know, what guys should be hitting based on the launch angle, based on their exit velocity, the first Oreo you think of is Renato Nunez, because Nunez, kind of a journeyman guy who had bounced around with the Athletics and the Rangers, and he came to Baltimore in 2018. He actually hit 7 homers in 60 games at the end of that season with Baltimore in 2018. But coming into last year, Renato Nunez had hit 17 home runs in what was about basically a full major league season of action. It was right around 162 games. And last year he hits 31 in 151 games. So when you put him into the model, you know, at least with how he's connecting with the baseball, how it's coming off the bat, what should he have hit last year?
So good news for Orioles fans, actually, when I ran the numbers on Nunez. So I was expecting, usually sometimes when you see these guys that really don't have much home run experience and you kind of throw them in. And then, I checked for various MLB players. Usually you can kind of see that guys that just kind of come out of nowhere tend to overperform. In Nunez's case, his numbers seemed pretty legit. Like you mentioned, he hit over 30 home runs last year. And right, my model had him right around 33 home runs. So actually, I guess he slightly underperformed based on the what I gathered. And I mean, it makes sense when you consider just his barrel percentage, his exit velocity throughout the season. I mean, he was in the top 50 in barrels, which is just, you know, the ball connecting at the sweet spot of the bat. He was 84th in average exit velocity. So Nunez seems pretty legitimate, which is probably good news for Orioles fans.
So put on your baseball front office hat. And if you're a guy like Mike Elias or you're in his front office, first of all, you know, what from those numbers really stands out and what makes you, if you're Mike Elias, say, yeah, I knew he was, you know, a guy who had bounced around and barely stuck in the major leagues. I knew he was going to hit 30 home runs in 2019.
Well, Nunez, the one thing about Nunez is, yes, he had a slower, I guess, you know, ascension through the, I mean, when he was on the Athletics through the minor league system. But he always displayed power at that level. So in 2017, in 126 games in AAA, he had 32 home runs, for instance. So he's always been someone as a prospect that had, you know, regarded to have a lot of natural raw power. It's just been his transition to the MLB has mostly just been, you know, question marks on whether he can sustain contact at a high enough rate. I mean, he doesn't, for somebody who hits 30 plus home runs, he doesn't walk necessarily a ton, which is kind of rare, but maybe now that he's got, you know, the respect of MLB pitchers and the respect around the league, that this guy is a legitimate power hitter. Maybe that could lead to more walks, but I think that would be the next aspect of his game that I guess Mike Elias and some of the members of the Orioles front office would hope he improves upon.
Yeah, and the Baseball Reference projections have him at 25 homers in 2020, which I think the Orioles would still take from a guy like Nunez. But maybe, you know, he was with the A's, as you said, and he spent a little time with the Rangers in 2018 before coming over to the Orioles. And, you know, maybe Texas is just bad at evaluating power hitters because the Rangers kind of gave up on Chris Davis way too early. And we know that Chris Davis is hard to watch right now. But for a few years there, he was one of the best home run hitters in the major leagues. And flipping to Davis, because that's a guy the Orioles would love to see start hitting some home runs last year, this year, but he hit 12 of them last year in 352 plate appearances. What did the model say about what he should have done last year?
So my model had him at 13. So I guess if Orioles fans are hoping for, you know, maybe he just had an unlucky season last year and he could get back to his, you know, even, I mean, I think Orioles fans would take 20 plus home runs from him.
Oh, at, yeah, 100%. You know,
I don't really think it's returning. And the thing with Davis is it's kind of interesting to like analyze him because he still does hit the ball hard when he makes contact. Like he hasn't lost that ability, but it's the other things that, I mean, he, like, I tracked down when I was looking at him, he had a 57.3% whiff rate on off speed pitches. Like, this guy right now is one-dimensional. He can hit fastballs at still a decent rate. I know 8 out of the 12 home runs he hit last year came versus the fastball, but it's a shame because I think maybe the bat speed has deteriorated a little bit over the years, but also his eye a little bit because he's swinging less, which I think is smart, but it's not smart when you're swinging less, but also swinging less at strikes. But you're still chasing a pitches out of the zone at the same rate, which that's like a recipe for disaster because you're just taking more strikes and you're still chasing pitches in the dirt. The eyes kind of deteriorated. The power, the exit velocity when he makes contact hasn't really. I mean, he had an average exit velocity on fly balls and home runs at over 102 miles per hour, which is still solid, decent, but there's still a ton of other questions surrounding him.
And it's interesting because Davis, you know, he put on 25 pounds of muscle this offseason, saying that he was basically hitting too many balls to the warning track and wanted to turn those into home runs, but it's kind of interesting to look at the model saying, you know, there wasn't that many that, you know, maybe depending on what park he was in or something would have been more homers, as it predicted 13. But you said 57% whiff rate on the off-speed stuff. It honestly seems higher when you watch him hit at the moment. And you're right, 20 home runs is something the Orioles would love from Chris Davis. But a guy who did hit 20 home runs last season was another kind of breakout guy for the Orioles, similar to Renato Nunez, was Anthony Santander, who had never played more than 35 games at the major league level before last year. And in 405 plate appearances last season, he hits 20 home runs. So where did the model have him in 2019?
So my model, both models were pretty consistent. They had him right around 18, which, again, I think for someone who played 93 games, it took into account plate appearances. So to have him at 18 home runs in 93 games is, I think, encouraging for Orioles fans, especially when you take a look at what he did in the Orioles minor league system. I mean, he's a guy who had, you know, some pop, but this is a guy throughout his whole minor league career with the Orioles has, in a flurry of games, had right around like 18 home runs, you know, over the last, you know, since 2017. So I think the power, the increase in power output from him was certainly legitimate. To me, the thing, and he has a similar thing in that Davis, and that he was initially hitting fastballs well. The difference between him and Chris Davis is his off-speed and breaking ball rates. He actually had a big jump in his slugging, and he decreased in the amount of whiffs versus those pitches than he did the year prior in a much smaller sample size. So if he can continue to build upon that, I think the Orioles do have someone that, you know, consistently can hit for power. His exit velocity was higher than Chris Davis's on pitches, on fly balls. He was at 105 miles per hour, just over 105 miles per hour. Davis was at 102. It's just, again, and also similar to Nunez, just now that he's starting to maybe, you know, establish a reputation as a big league hitter, a big league home run hitter, can the plate discipline increase along with that? Can he start drawing more walks? Those are things that I would keep an eye on as an Orioles fan.
Yeah, and they would, again, take another 20 home runs, but Santander, a switch hitter, plays a good outfield, and he was worth more than one win last year in just 93 games. So the hope is that that kind of production can continue for him, and they maybe have a guy who, you know, can kind of stick around for the future. He's only 25 years old, so not necessarily someone they would completely move on from when some of these younger guys come up. But I want to finish on breaking down each player, but with the star of this Orioles lineup, and I think if you look up and down, the one guy who every other Major League Baseball team would definitely find a spot in their starting lineup for. And you can't say that about a lot of the Orioles on the roster right now, but that's Trey Mancini, probably an all-star snub last year. He hit 35 homers in 154 games last season. And what did the model say about the Orioles' best hitter?
So the model said he should have hit probably right around 32 home runs, 31, 32 home runs. It was, you know, the decimal output, but and that's pretty consistent with, I think, you know, the preseason expectations for him are. I know Fangraphs, through like Steamer model and Zips, they have him right around 30, 31 home runs. So, I mean, the thing with Mancini, and I think most Orioles fans know, is that this is a guy who, you know, what is their best player. And he's a guy, one of the few guys on the team that you could feel pretty confident going into this year that he's going to, you know, produce at a high level. And the encouraging thing, I think, about Mancini was that the walk rate jumped. So now that, you know, as he was hitting more home runs, his walk rate went from, in 2017, just over 5.5% to 7% in 2018 to over 9% last year. So I think that's something that Santander and Nunez should really try to emulate. And if they could get their walk rates up to where Mancini currently has it, it will help their on-base percentage a ton. It will really help the O's in the future.
So we talk about all these four guys and you know, the numbers on the model, some of them, you know, right on, some a couple off. But how does it, you know, fit in or play a factor that the Orioles, first of all, they play in one of the most hitter-friendly ballparks in baseball in Camden Yards, and overall in the AL East, you have Yankee Stadium, which is probably even more hitter-friendly. Fenway Park arguably could be more hitter-friendly than Camden Yards, and you know, Tropicana Field is a pretty hitter-friendly ballpark as well. So how does that play a factor, especially playing 81 games at Oriole Park?
Oh, I mean, it definitely helps. It helps a ton to, like you said, play in a MLB park that is, you know, very favorable to batters. And especially with the way parks kind of can fluctuate. I mean, that's the thing that people don't really realize, is that a lot of parks, depending on the year, and I mean, I guess with dimensions constantly changing, they do fluctuate. But Oriole Park is largely, I mean, consistently been a hitter's park. Right. And I mean, they were fourth in home runs as a park factor last year. That they're consistently within that top 10. I mean, Yankee Stadium, it could kind of fluctuate. That's the thing people forget about Yankee Stadium. They see that short right field wall and they automatically assume that, you know, that there, it's always a hitter's park. It kind of fluctuates, but Orioles Park is largely consistent in that. If you want a good place to hit home runs, is there.
All right. So that, a good look at kind of, you know, what, why guys are hitting home runs, how many home runs they should be hitting. And the Orioles would obviously hope for a lot of long balls in 2020, but Tyler, before we let you go, I've got a couple rapid fire questions as you just use your data analytics, your potential front office baseball brain, and this is kind of just about being in the front office as a whole, but three rapid fire questions. Are you ready?
Yep.
Number one, you are looking at guys for the first five rounds of the draft. Do you focus on college or high school guys more often?
I would probably focus on high school guys. I think it's just smart, I think it's almost in any sport, just smart to get them straight out of high school at a younger age, get them into your building, and then, you know, you should have an organization structure from the top down that could kind of, you know, work with these kids, and I just think it's always good to immediately get these kids into you know, a low A, single A, you know, training.
To build off that one for our second question, how much would you put, basically take into account just raw college numbers as opposed to what you see and looking deeper into college TrackMan data?
I definitely think you have to put a lot to, if you are scouting at college, but you have to put a lot into, you know, a lot into, you know, the numbers they produce in college. You know, that's kind of where it becomes, you know, the sabermetrics argument versus the, you know, traditional scouting argument. You know, I do think you have to weight both. You have to be confident, you know, in what you're weighting both. But to me, if you're someone who's scouting a college player and you don't, you know, take a really hard look at some of the, you know, college production, especially with most of these college teams now at big, you know, baseball schools, they have, MLB teams will have that data, you know, the exit velocities, the launch angles of these players, the spin rates if you're analyzing a pitcher. I think it would be a very big disservice that scouting at that college level to not utilize that information. But also, I mean, if, you know, you are surrounded by scouts with a traditional mindset, of course you have to take that into account as well, you know, their opinions on it.
Last one that about the Orioles, then I've got one bonus one as well. If you're Mike Elias, you're Sigma Dell, you're whoever up there helping him make decisions, what do you do with Chris Davis?
So that is a very interesting question. The thing with Chris Davis is, you know, I think if any Orioles fans are expecting a sudden resurgence out of him, I just don't think it's going to happen. I don't think you can, you know, lose the contact and the eye, you know, at the same time and still expect to hit home runs. I mean, this is a guy who over the last 3 years, if you're using, you know, F-WAR, Fangraphs' WAR, who's given the Orioles -4.5 wins. Now, the contract situation is tough. He has 3 years left, correct, at, you know, $63 million around. To me, with the Orioles being a rebuilding team and with them, you know, constantly trying to, I mean, what would you say, Connor, is the, you know, a realistic, from a pulse of the Orioles fans, a realistic year for them to really get back into, you know, being competitive?
I mean, 2022, maybe, I would say, because by then all the pitchers are probably ready to go that are the highly ranked, you know, Baseball America top 100 guys in the system right now.
So I think you have to look at it in this way. If you're Sig Medel and you're Mike Elias and you're analyzing, these next 2 years are going to be heavy in analyzing young players, seeing which guys they could count on in 2022. Is Chris Davis going to be a part of that?
I mean, that's the last year of his contract, so probably not.
Is he going to be a part of it? Is 36-year-old Chris Davis going to play a key role in 2022, or is, you know, if he's still around, is he going to be blocking someone who potentially has more promise? So I think you kind of have to cut ties. I don't know the full financial ramifications of it, but I think you should, at the very least, if the contract's a sunk cost, at the very least, you should not let him block guys that you want to get a good, hard look at and guys that you want to get MLB experience.
Yeah, that's why it's such a layered question this year, because finally this season, Ryan Mountcastle, who's a top 10 Orioles prospect right now, who really doesn't have a defensive position, so he's going to play a lot of first base and DH, will be in the major leagues in 2020, and this will really be the first year of this kind of Chris Davis slide where there's a highly ranked prospect that he might be taking at-bats away from. So it'll be interesting to see that. But it's a loaded question and tough to answer. All right, last one for you. I know you're a huge fantasy baseball guy. Give Orioles fans or listeners at all to this podcast one guy, fantasy baseball 2020, doesn't have to be an Oriole, who's very under the radar and you think is going to break out and be huge for anyone's fantasy team this season.
So that's – okay, so if I had to pick one guy – I think, and I don't know exactly where, I haven't, you know, really looked into where he's getting drafted, because I've, you know, play a dynasty league, so he's on someone's team, and he probably will be on someone's team for the considerable future. I think you have to take a good, hard look. If you're a fantasy player and you need a pitcher, dynasty league or not, at Tyler Glasnow. And I know he's in the division, and I think Orioles fans will get a good, hard look, and they probably got a good flash of him the last, you know, year and a half. He did miss a lot of time last year, but this is a guy who was a top prospect with the Pirates. He really struggled out of the gates, even though he was very strong in the minor leagues. I mean, he was a top five consensus prospect. Last year in 60 innings, he had 12 starts. He was plagued by injuries, but he was fairly elite when he did pitch, a 1.78 ERA. 2.26 FIP, an XFIP under 3. The ground ball rate was really high. He struck out guys at over 30, right around 33%, hardly walked anyone. So, you know, when you combine someone that sabermetrically had, you know, terrific stats, you know, terrific raw stats, and then, I mean, the guy throws 98, 99 with ease. His curveball is also a plus pitch. His changeup, which he hardly throws because he really doesn't need to, his changeup hits around 92, 93 miles per hour, which is kind of crazy and kind of shows you the direction that baseball is, you know, going to right now. That was also a plus pitch. I think he would be probably the guy that I am most interested in, because I think Glasnow is a dark horse Cy Young candidate, assuming the health stays constant.
Well, we did see him in the playoffs last year, and you know, he looked pretty good against Houston. And if the Astros hadn't been cheating, he might have willed the Rays into the ALCS last season. But Tyler, thank you so much for joining us and providing some insight knowledge on what fans can start to look at as far as the numbers go, because as the tenure of Mike Elias becomes longer and longer in Baltimore, it's going to become a bigger part of the organization, as it already has. And I think fans will start to understand kind of what's going on besides just the play on the field. But thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me, Connor.
And again, our thanks to Tyler O'Connor. Again, sorry we did go a little long there, but it was a good conversation as we, you know, kind of looked into home runs and how Oriole Park affects them, and what we should expect from some guys on this Orioles team, and a really good look into, you know, why to be excited about Santander and why to be excited about Nunez, and why potentially, you know, these seasons might not have been flukes and they can continue to hit well for the Orioles. And plus talked a little draft looks at the end there, and a bit of fantasy baseball, because Tyler's a big fantasy guy, and we'll do a little bit more fantasy baseball and a lot more draft stuff throughout this baseball season. So if you like what you heard today, make sure to subscribe to the podcast wherever you are listening right now. Give us a rating and a review. It helps a whole lot. Next week, we'll do some Norfolk Tides talk. We'll do some more player previews, and we'll get closer and closer to opening day. When we rejoin you, it's going to be March, and that is the month of baseball season starting. This has been the Locked On Orioles podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.